our conventional affiliations, and will also be a part of a much larger package of what we're doing at RBN that involves shortwave radio, international shortwave radio, as well as internet broadcasts that are both live as well as those that will be archived for the future. We have a very special guest on the show today for 1 hour, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, where she, in fact, has a lot to say about the whole issue of vaccines. I found her through newswithviews.com, which is a very fine conservative news service, where Dr. Tenpenny has a recent publication entitled, Questioning Vaccines is Not Fueled by Ignorance. She's respected as one of the country's most knowledgeable and outspoken physicians regarding the impact of vaccines on health. She has an education company that's entitled New Medical Awareness, LLC. And through that company, she spreads her vision of retaining freedom of choice in health care, including the freedom to refuse vaccination. Now, a portion of this News with Views article that I just made reference to, which is entitled Questioning Vaccines is Not Fueled by Ignorance, that's an excerpt from her new book, which is entitled Foul, F-O-W-L, exclamation point, Foul, Bird Flu, It's Not What You Think. This was released in April of 2006. And for daily updates on the bird flu, including the real reasons behind the hype, and also for a biweekly electronic newsletter with Dr. Tenpenny's commentary, you can go to www.birdfluhype.com. We'll be making reference to that throughout the conversation this morning. Dr. Tenpenny, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much.
Yes, we'll have a couple of additional minutes to chat, and then, of course, we'll go to a commercial break, and then there will be a much longer period of time for conversation. But basically, on this whole business of vaccines, quite clearly, what you're telling us is that there's a whole agenda behind this that we're not hearing about in most of corporate news media, and that it has implications for our health. Take it away.
Well, certainly that there is that. This has been going on for more than 200 years, since Jacobson versus Massachusetts was passed by the U.S. Supreme Court in 1906, which said that it gave the states the right to supersede the consumer or the individual's right freedoms to refuse vaccine, and gives the power to the state to force us to have vaccines against our will. So this has been going on for a very long time, and I think it's time that it comes to the forefront and we really examine what's going on with the vaccine industry and what's going on with our health. At the time that that law was passed, there was only one vaccine. It was the smallpox vaccine. Now we have more than 15 different vaccines, and children now get about 100 doses of vaccines, including chemicals and viruses and bacteria, by the time they start kindergarten. So I think that the right to refuse is an important health freedom issue.
Aside from the whole issue of the political question of whether or not we should have the right to refuse these things and to refuse their administration to our children, which, of course, for a conservative or libertarian is a very compelling political and philosophical issue, what would the good medical reasons be, as we start this conversation, for potentially refusing to be involved?
There's a lot of information that's been involved, that's in the conventional medical literature. In fact, I've spent the last several years researching this. Just to give your listeners a little background on me, my background is I'm an emergency medicine physician. I was board certified in emergency medicine, and I'm also an osteopathic physician, and I'm board certified in osteopathic manipulative medicine. In September of 2000, I went to the National Vaccine Information Center, and I started finding that there was a lot of problems.
Doctor, we'll be back. We'll be back with Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. This is Mark Dankoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and, of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com. at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Are you concerned about the high price of prescription drugs? Since January of 2006, RxDrugCard.com members have saved an average of $33 per prescription filled. That's over 46% savings. RxDrugCard.com is the only major discount prescription drug plan that offers a price lookup page so you can get an idea of your discount price before you enroll. RxDrugCard.com is for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. There are no age restrictions, and all prescriptions are covered. And 95% of all pharmacies in the U.S. participate, including Walmart, Walgreens, CVS Pharmacy, and many more. With RxDrugCard.com, you will save immediately with no messy forms or paperwork. Membership fees start at only $4.50 per month and include a 30-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Visit us at www.rxdrugcard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill? It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The bed fan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com. Your provider for great sleep.
San Antonio, Texas, and the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. She is a board-certified physician in emergency medicine. She is board-certified as a doctor of osteopathy. She has an education company entitled New Medical Awareness, LLC, and has a fascinating post at newswithviews.com, that's Elizabeth Wright's news service, that's entitled Questioning Vaccines is Not Fueled by Ignorance. That article by Dr. Sherry Tenpenny is part of an excerpt from her new book entitled Fowl, F-O-W-L, exclamation point. Fowl, bird flu, it's not what you think. You can also go to Dr. Tenpenny's site at www.birdfluhype.com and receive daily updates not only on bird flu but on a lot of other things, as well as her commentary. That comes in the form of a biweekly electronic newsletter. Doctor, go ahead. You were just starting to say how you had gotten into this.
Because I went to this meeting at the National Vaccine Information Center in Washington, D.C. in September of 2000, and I walked away going, wow, I really never gave this much thought. You know, I grew up in a chiropractic family. I was not vaccinated as a child. I was very healthy, and even as an emergency room doctor, I didn't give much emphasis to updating people with their vaccines, particularly children that were sick. Upon investigating that, I've spent the next, I'm fast approaching 8,000 hours worth of research at this point in time, of documenting all the problems that are already published in the medical literature stating how many problems there are with vaccines. And what you had said at the top of the hour with your question was, why should people be considering choosing differently rather than just going down the public health program and getting all the vaccines on time as directed by the public health program and their pediatrician. There's been reports in the medical literature, substantial reports about the connections between vaccines and asthma, allergies, eczema, autoimmune diseases, and those things are all real. The whole issue with thimerosal, the mercury in vaccines, even though most of the mercury has been taken out of most of the vaccines, the incidence of autism in California continues to rise. And one of the things that I've been saying for years is it's not just the mercury. It's the sum total of all of the things that are injected into these children. There are measurable amounts of MSG, gelatin, polysorbate 80, a variety of other chemicals that are measurable because they're listed on the package insert in a quantity or in a percentage. So we know that they're there. And these children get multiple doses of these things. And it doesn't take an MD or a DO or a PhD or any sort of a rocket scientist wizard to figure out that when you're injecting all these things into babies that weigh somewhere between 6 and 10 pounds, that they could have some autoimmune and some other types of health problems that develop from that.
Well, you know, the political and the medical implications of this seem to me to be monstrous as one who is a complete layperson medically. I don't even have a kindergarten-age education in medical matters, which is why I rely upon people like you, Dr. Tenpenny, to inform me on these things. But in Texas recently, of course, we've had this whole issue of Governor Rick Perry and insisting at one point that he would make it mandatory, or insist that the state legislature of Texas would make it mandatory, that all of these school-age girls have this so-called HPV, human papillomavirus vaccine. And this was, of course, going to be administered in conjunction with Merck, M-E-R-C-K, which was insisting as well that this program should be mandatory. Now both Perry and Merck are backing off of that, and there was a story in the San Antonio Express News yesterday in the front page reiterating the fact that Governor Perry's former chief of staff is now a paid lobbyist for the Merck pharmaceutical industry. What are we to make of all of this, both the HPV situation specifically, as well as some of the political facts of this thing coming out here in Texas?
Well, it's a very interesting scenario, and I give Dawn Richardson of Prove in Texas. She has single-handedly been taking this on and going to the State House and making her statements and has been on national news, and everybody in Texas needs to support her organization, Prove, and give thanks to Dawn for what she has brought to light there. There's so much questionable efficacy about the necessity of this vaccine. I mean, for one thing, there are many factors that need to be required for this to be a problem with cancer, and that it's been believed for a long time that the HPV infection does not cause cancer unless it's associated with things like smoking, other types of infections, birth control pills, family history. Those are typically not risk factors in 9-year-old girls. This vaccine's only been tested for less than 2 years, and more than 90% of people who get infected with HPV have the infection is completely harmless and it goes completely away. Actually, there's no proof at all that the vaccine actually will prevent cancer. It's only been tested for 2 years, and the vast majority of women who get cervical cancer are in their late 40s. So by pulling this out and putting this into the light of day shows that it's really Merck's plan to get $4 billion a year from the sale of this vaccine. And it's my personal opinion that $4 billion is there to offset their losses from their Vioxx debacle that happened over the last couple of years.
Well, yeah, and, you know, for me, again, as a person who, medically speaking, is an absolute layperson in these matters, I watch all of these things developing, and I find myself wondering to what extent, looking, for example, at the larger issue of these vaccines and the mandatory character of many of these programs, to what extent should we see, as speaking of myself and some of the listeners who are laity in regard to medical matters, to what extent should we see these compounding problems with vaccines in regard to later health issues as a byproduct of some unintended medical malpractice on the part of some of the administrators of these programs? And to what extent are we speaking about something that is not only profit-driven, but some would even suspect driven by the desire to create conditions that then lead to the need for other drugs to combat things that happen to us in adulthood as a result of the introduction of these products as children.
Wow, that's a big, long question.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, as I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking, how much of this is just incompetence and how much of it is actually conspiratorial? Maybe that's a way of boiling it down.
Well, I honestly, I don't know that it's either. I don't know that it's incompetence. I believe it's blind belief. I believe that a lot of physicians blindly believe what they're told in medical school and don't bother to do the types of research that I've done to look into the problems. I mean, I hear this all the time. You know, there's always the mantra that comes, they're either A, there is no proof, or B, we need more studies. And to me, it's just a license to be lazy. There's plenty of proof if you go and look for it. And why do you need more studies after you've already shown that thousands of people have, that these medications, which is what a vaccine is, that thousands of people have been damaged by this? I mean, why do we blame anything but the vaccine? I hear this all the time, Mark, in all of the consults that I do. I mean, a child will get terribly ill within 24 to 48 hours or maybe 2 weeks after a vaccine, and the doctors will put them through every type of test, every type of known medication to try to make it better. And when the parents question and say, did this really, was this caused by the vaccine? Almost unilaterally, the mantra is, oh, it can't possibly be the vaccine. It's always everything but. And it's discouraging to me because I hear it over and over again from patients, and I think that most doctors are well-meaning. I just think that they're underinformed.
Yeah, and when you start talking about this in regard to, I would assume, the same type of mantra education that certainly I was exposed to in certain areas of the theological realm many years ago when I was a part of the Graduate Theological Union of Berkeley, California, and was hearing all of these theories related to biblical authorship that were absolutely insisted upon as being orthodox truth from the far left's perspective anyway, then later discovering that there was an entire body of responsible, informed academic opinion that didn't agree with these theories at all. It found me thinking, more than once, gee, this is not education that I'm going through here in Berkeley, California. This is ideological indoctrination 101. Now, if you take that model and apply it to both law schools and medical schools, I can see exactly where you're coming from on this whole issue of vaccines generally, as well as the whole issue of medical orthodoxy specifically, that I assume would impede true medical research in all other topics as well. For the parents of children who are operating in a context where there obviously is tremendous a medical orthodoxy being promoted in the corporate news media, and of course you can quite clearly see where the pharmaceutical industries are among those who fund corporate media, this must be an incredibly traumatic thing for parents who are getting that kind of misinformation on the one hand, at the same time that maybe through an incident that involves a child, they have their own suspicion that there is a connection between some health malady that the child has and a recently administered vaccine. Then a responsible physician like yourself comes into play with a brand of research and the collation of research which contradicts what these parents have been told by corporate media. They must be, you must in your medical practice and in your ministry to inform people on some of these things worldwide, run into a lot of folks that are absolutely confused and traumatized and don't really know what to believe.
Absolutely. I couldn't have said it better myself. That was very good. And what you said about the orthodoxy about medical school being indoctrination, unfortunately, they don't teach people to think. They teach their people to memorize facts.
Yes. We'll be back with Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. You can find her website at www.birdfluhype.com.
Would you enjoy a career where you pick your hours, work for who you want to, when you want to, as much as you want to? No one knows about this hidden career because there is no book, school, or teaching material available. Until now. learn the trade of window painting. Window Genie is now offering a 3-day workshop on DVD that shows you how to reproduce art, text, and graphics professionally, even if you can't draw a stick man. Secrets, cheater techniques, shortcuts, tips, and tricks are all revealed. Recoup your investment in as little as one job and have a career for life. This training also gives you the skills to do regular sign work, indoor murals, and signage. Begin your new career today. Just call us at 780-457-7109 or visit us at windowgenie.com. Again, that's windowgenie, spelled J-E-A-N-N-I-E.com.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
Or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined between now and 9 o'clock this morning Central Standard Time by Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. We're discussing vaccines, both the medical implications as well as the political. You can find Dr. Tenpenny through her education company at New Medical Awareness, LLC. The portion of her work for Elizabeth Wright's newswithviews.com that is entitled Questioning Vaccines is Not Fueled by Ignorance is an excerpt from her new book, Fowl, F-O-W-L, exclamation point, bird flu, it's not what you think. You can find Dr. Tenpenny and her commentary at www.birdfluhype.com. You can find her as a regular columnist, again, for Elizabeth Wright's newswithviews.com. Dr. Tenpenny has a 3-hour vaccine DVD entitled Vaccines, the Risk, the Benefits and the Choices, and you can also get to that DVD in terms of information on how to purchase it, as well as a lot of other things, at www.drtenpenny.com. That's www.drtenpenny.com. Doctor, it seems to me that there are, in particular, 2 constituencies that will be very interested long-term in all the things you have to say on these subjects. When are people just entering into this information stream that have not yet made choices about vaccines for their children? Then we're also dealing with those folks who have already been down that road as far as the conventional wisdom is concerned, and who have seen, either in their lives or the lives of their kids, what seem to be some derivative health consequences that were never advertised by the medical establishment. If you're in the latter category, is there any reason for hope that some of the difficulties that have perhaps been induced by the administration of vaccines can be, if not eliminated or reversed, at least managed?
Absolutely. In fact, our clinic that we have here in Cleveland, Ohio, we have people that I'm always proud to say that have come from 29 states and 7 foreign countries to come and go through some of our treatment programs. About a third of our practice are kids, that in about half of those children are in the practice from what we consider to be vaccine injuries. And we treat them by eliminating their allergies, changing their diet, putting them on a good source of a wide variety of supplements that are tailored to the individual. And then we use a lot of homeopathy. And the homeopathy that we use, we really feel acts as a detox to get rid of some of the residual effects that have happened with some of the vaccines. And we've seen a lot of really good results with that.
Well, you know, as I listen to you, it reminds me of a situation in my own family without going into all the maudlin details over the air. My wife was attacked in the summer of 1994 by what was diagnosed as a case of hives. I have never seen a skin condition any worse than she had in the summer of 1994. Happened after a church hike where she got some insect bites in her feet, and then the next day this outbreak of what were deemed to be hives occurred when we were walking around in the heat of downtown Dallas, Texas, before I was to be a delegate at a political convention. Long and short of it is, she was subsequently treated for a very long period of time with steroids, with prednisone, with very high dosages. All kinds of complications have ensued in the last 12 years. I won't even begin to get into where we are with this case now. It's a dreadful situation. But suffice it to say that the reason I bring this up on the air is not simply to tell the listeners that sometimes your hosts go through things as well, but also at the time. Now, keep in mind, when all this was transpiring, I was 39 years old. I grew up in an Air Force family. My dad was a retired Air Force colonel. And I guess, at least implicitly, I had been raised to trust police officers across the board, to trust school teachers. And as a part of that orthodoxy of trust in our institutions, I assumed that anything that a medical doctor told me in print or face-to-face was verbatim going to be the truth. The notion that I could be treated by a medical doctor and have a treatment scheme that was not a sound one was something that I couldn't even process based upon my rather establishment upbringing. I later paid for those assumptions in spades. But a lot of things were happening to my wife that I didn't understand. And had I had the perceptions that I now have of some of the people in the medical establishment, I wouldn't have been quite so trusting. Isn't that kind of trust level something that can be dangerous for people? And it seems to me that in terms of penetrating the so-called medical orthodoxy that we get from the AMA and from the medical schools and so forth, that you're one of the folks, it seems to me, who is saying to the wider audience of listeners and people who read your print articles that, hey, there is good reason why you can be a responsible layperson and legitimately question what you're being told.
Absolutely. And one comment I want to make about the article that you're referencing from News with Views, that's not an excerpt from my book. That article is not. There are other articles on News with Views that I've written that are, but that one was actually a commentary on an article that was posted in the New York Times Online. It was a book review that was written about a book called Vaccine, The Controversial Story of Medicine's Greatest Lifesaver. And that whole article was a commentary on the, on that. And I'd like to address that a little bit more when we come back.
Sure. We will be back with Dr.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you concerned about the high price of prescription drugs? Since January of 2006, RxDrugCard.com members have saved an average of $33 per prescription filled. That's over 46% savings. RxDrugCard.com is the only major discount prescription drug plan that offers a price lookup page so you can get an idea of your discount price before you enroll. RxDrugCard.com is for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. There are no age restrictions, and all prescriptions are covered. And 95% of all pharmacies in the U.S. participate, including Walmart, Walgreens, CVS Pharmacy, and many more. With RxDrugCard.com, you will save immediately with no messy forms or paperwork. Membership fees start at only $4.50 per month and include a 30-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Visit us at www.RxDrugCard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill? It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The bed fan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com. Your provider for great sleep.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
For whatever comes your way, call us toll-free at 1-800-321-2900 or online at www.survivalcenter.com.
This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Dr. Sherry Tenpenny from Cleveland, Ohio. She is a board-certified physician in both emergency medicine as well as in osteopathy. She has an education company, New Medical Awareness, LLC. Has a new book out, Fowl, Bird Flu, It's Not What You Think. She also has a three-hour vaccine DVD entitled Vaccines, The Risk, The Benefits, and The Choices. I'll be posting all this information later at Breaking All the Rules News so that people can get to these URLs and so forth. You can find her at www.birdfluhype.com as well as www.drtenpenny.com. Sherry, take it away with what you were talking about before the break.
Yeah, the article that I wrote was actually a response to a New York Times online book review to a new book that was published called Vaccine, The Controversial Story of Medicine's Greatest Lifesaver by author Arthur Allen. And the review was done by a David Oshinsky, who has written a book a couple of years ago about the polio vaccine. And the commentary, when I read it on Sunday morning, I just knew I had to respond to it, because the commentary of the book review said that the book that Mr. Allen states that much of the anti-vaccinationist leadership is composed of countercultural types who view life through the prism of conspiracy theory. The government lies, the drug companies are evil, the medical profession is corrupt, and they trust the internet instead of their physicians, and that the anti-vaccination impulse is fueled by an ignorance of the past. And when I read that, I just had to respond, because yes. I do not believe that it is fueled by countercultural types. I do not believe that it's a prism of conspiracy theory. I believe that the evidence speaks for itself. And there is an article that came out yesterday in the American Medical News newspaper. The title of the article was "That Income Doesn't Mean On-Time Shots." And the first paragraph says that children of mothers who have less than a high school education or a low socioeconomic status are more likely to be up to date on their shots than those moms who are more educated and earn more money, according to the American Journal of Public Health. And my response to that was, I believe that educated, high school and college educated moms have access to the internet. They read, they question, they challenge, and so therefore they're getting more educated and figuring out that perhaps all these vaccines aren't necessary, and maybe they aren't going to keep my children healthy. In fact, perhaps they're going to make them sick. And unfortunately, I think that people of lower socioeconomic levels may not have that same the same level of access, and so they blindly trust their physicians, as to what you said before the break. And I do believe that more and more people nowadays need to be their own health advocates and take on their own responsibility to do their own research as they make decisions about their health and the health care of their children.
Yes. You know, you were mentioning autism earlier, Doctor. I have a friend up in Seattle. He's approximately 10 years younger than I am. His parents were good friends of mine when my parents and his were stationed in Iran a generation ago. And he and his wife now have a young autistic child up in Seattle. And I notice in reading through your post with Elizabeth Wright that there are some footnotes that talk about autism, with what seems to be an increase in the number of these autistic cases that we read about. To what extent is this linked to the vaccine situation, and to what extent is it linked to other developments that were not true of our society, who knows how many years ago?
Well, the statistics are now that children, one in every 66 children, one out of 166, are diagnosed with autism. And in the state of New Jersey, one in 60 boys have now been diagnosed with autism. Now, is that just purely the vaccines? I don't think so, because I think there are other environmental things that come into play and into context. We have aspartame, we have trans fats, we have environmental contaminants, we have pesticides, we have all sorts of things. But I do believe that the vaccines lay a backdrop to the effects of these environmental toxicities. For example, now that we're giving hepatitis B vaccines to children at birth or within their first 24 hours of life, that is the first thing that they come in contact with environmentally, even though there have been studies that have shown that when they test cord blood, that the cord blood does have chemicals and environmental toxicities in it. We had always previously thought that the umbilical cord and the placenta completely protected the fetus from outside environmental things. But we've found unequivocally that the cord blood, when it's tested, that the children have already been exposed to chemicals in utero. And then you give them a hepatitis B shot within 24 to 48 hours after birth, and then you start with a whole series of vaccines at 2, 4, and 6 months. It takes up until the 6 months of age for children's immune systems and their the protective sheath around their brain called the myelin sheath to close and to give them, offer them protection. And by that length in time, we've already inoculated them with hepatitis B, polio, Prevnar, Hib, and a variety of other types of shots. And I do believe that that is laying the backdrop for potentially many children to become ill.
Yes. Well, it certainly makes sense to me as a non-medical professional who is listening to a professional discuss this matter. And again, I think the implications of all of this are absolutely monstrous, both for the present as well as for the future. We have a caller. Melissa in Texas, you're on the line for Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. Go ahead, Melissa.
Good morning.
Hi.
Mark, you've heard about the teenage girl that had the flu, that they're saying she died from the flu.
Yeah, I saw the story in the San Antonio Express News yesterday, correct.
Yeah, and Sherry, what I wanted to ask you was, what do you know about Tamiflu? Because what it says is the girl got sick on the 10th of February, she went to the doctor on the 12th, and she was dead from cardiac arrest on the 13th after she had been given Tamiflu. Now, they weren't drawing the conclusion that I am, but I'm starting to think Tamiflu might not be good for our health.
Well, I have a whole chapter in my book. The book that I've written is called Foul Bird Flu, It's Not What You Think. I've written, there's a whole chapter in the book on Tamiflu, and it talks about how Tamiflu is not nearly as effective as what you think it is. It certainly has had neurological disorders, and they've had numerous reports. The FDA has looked at this twice and have actually added a warning label for children about the hallucinations and the psychoneurological effects that can be caused by Tamiflu. Now, I'm not aware of any cardiovascular effects, but that could very well be.
Yeah.
It may just be that I need to review that material. I was looking at it more from the neurological effects than from the cardiovascular effects.
Well, you know, when you know, it's like if you hit your thumb with a hammer and it hurts.
It's probably the hammer.
Yeah, it might be the hammer.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
So I've run into, like, my mother, about seven years ago, maybe not that long, maybe it's only been five, it seems like forever, she had to have a scope put down her throat to look at her upper intestines because she had some sort of a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And they did this in the emergency room, and the doctor tore her esophagus.
Oh, my.
Because he was so good at his job, obviously. And so then what he did next was he put her, this little frail, you know, 80-pound woman on full-dose Nexium to heal that esophageal tear. And she promptly, within 24 hours, she was in cardiac arrest. And it completely destroyed her, the mitral valve.
Wow.
And, you know, the way Nexium works is it shuts down the valves in your stomach so that you don't pump so much digestive gases in there, and it also affects the valves all over your body, which your heart is, you know, one of those places. And nobody in my family believes me. They won't look into it, and now my mother is in a nursing home oblivious because they've got her drugged and because she had such problems with her heart. So what I, you know, from my point of view, it's like stay away from doctors, you'll live less longer.
Well, they do say that the number one cause of death in America is physicians. So
wow.
There may be some truth to that. And, you know, while I was listening to your commentary there, I pulled up on my screen here the chapter in my book, Foul Bird Flu, It's Not What You Think, about Tamiflu. And I want to read you two short sentences. And this was from the FDA report when they were reviewing adverse effects that were being caused by Tamiflu. And it says, among the 75 pediatric reports of serious side effects, there were 8 fatalities, 4 sudden deaths, 3 cardiopulmonary arrests, and 1 case of acute pancreatitis with cardiopulmonary arrest. 32 were neuropsychiatric events and 12 were skin events. And these were all reported at the FDA meeting in 2005.
Yeah. Now, see, this family up in Williamson County here where this teenager died,
mm-hmm.
No one's going to mention this to them, that it was the Tamiflu that probably killed their daughter. And if she would have just lived through the flu, you know, feeling bad.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, now you know that for sure, that if you decide to do that, there is reports of that. And that's from an FDA committee report in 2005.
Wow. Someone ought to tell this family. I don't know how to contact them, and I'm sure they're being very well protected at this point, you know. What a horrible thing. 16 years old, and now she's gone.
Yeah, that's terrible.
I know. All right. Well, thank you very much. I had the suspicion, and you just confirmed it for me.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Melissa. Sherry, this whole thing you were talking about earlier with the HPV vaccine, I wanted to ask you, it seems that you were basically saying that this HPV virus, that the link between that and cervical cancer in women is a far more tenuous link than the corporate media would have us believe.
Absolutely.
And in regard to this HPV, for men and women who are diagnosed with it, what is an appropriate situation for treatment, or is doing nothing better than some of the treatments that are offered out there?
Well, the National Cancer Institute has said that more than 90% of cases of HPV infection are harmless and go away without any treatment at all. So one of the things that I would suggest is, and we've done this with patients in our office, this was long before the vaccine came on the horizon, is if they were diagnosed with that, that we would do a variety of different things for a six-week period of time. We would give them an additional six to seven weeks of good nutrition. We would talk to them about nutritional changes. We would add high doses of B-complex, like B100s that you can get at GNC or at the health food store, B100. We would have them take something called DIM, D-I-M, which stands for diindolmethane. D like dog, I like iris, M like Mary. It's the active ingredient in broccoli, and there have been studies reported in the conventional literature that says that up to 50% of people that take 200 milligrams of DIM a day had 50% of the people who took 200 milligrams of DIM a day had complete resolution of HPV infection. So it's a very inexpensive supplement. You can get it at the health food store. So we do dietary changes, B-complex, have them take 200 milligrams of the supplement called DIM a day, had high doses of vitamin C, and watch it for 6 weeks. And we've had about 90% of those patients, when they go back to their doctor to get their repeat Pap test, the HPV infection is gone. Of the percentage that it still remains, and if there's any further concern, then the doctor can proceed to do what's like a laser treatment on the surface of the cervix. In the vast majority of those patients, that's all they need.
Well, that's absolutely amazing, and it seems to me, again, that when you look at the amount of this that has come out of the news media in recent times here in Texas because of this Perry Merck case, and the so-called move toward mandatory vaccination of school-age girls, that this particular situation, it seems to me, is a microcosm to maybe interpret some of the larger maladies that are involved with both medical orthodoxy in this country, as well as the corporate media structure and the corporate economic structure that perhaps feeds on it and reinforces it. And maybe we can argue that there's even a symbiotic relationship between medical orthodoxy and the entire corporate establishment in the country. Is that an overstatement?
Oh, I think that's probably a reach, but I would not say that it's untrue.
Yes.
I do believe that most doctors are well-intended. They want to do what's in the best interest of their patients, but I do believe that they're underinformed. And I say they're underinformed because they get their information primarily from two places. One is from drug reps who are coming and selling a product. The other is from the conventional medical literature that, unless you're very careful and see who's funded the studies that, and the conclusions that they've come from, you know that it's just being another type of promotion by the drug companies. And unfortunately, most doctors are so busy in their life with what they're doing that when they get their medical journals in the mail, they really only have time to read what the title of the journal is and the conclusion that's in the abstract. They don't have time to read the very detailed information that's inside of all of those research articles. And if they did, they would find that there's a lot of information that you, and because I've done this in my vaccine research, that when you actually read the whole body of the study, you go, holy mackerel, when you read this information, this isn't anywhere close to what the conclusion was. How could they possibly have written that conclusion based on the information that was published inside of this study? And unfortunately, with doctors being overburdened by, you know, malpractice rates are going up, reimbursement is going down, they have to see more patients per hour, they don't really have the time to do the information and the education for which they really are responsible to do. This is not giving them an out. It's just sort of offering an explanation for the way that why the whole medical system is in such a mess.
And I'd like to tell the listeners that I can absolutely believe what you're talking about with these doctors and these journal articles, because I'm a Lutheran pastor, and among the many things I read is something called the Evangelical Theological Society Journal, which is probably the same thing in the theological world that I would guess doctors would look at, as far as the New England School of Medicine Journal and the AMA Journal and all that sort of thing. But I have about enough time to scan the table of contents, and when I see an article that is of particular interest to me, I tend to do that thing of reading the first and last paragraph of the article, and maybe looking at the book reviews, and if I come to a book review that it seems to be particularly apropos, I'll do that whole thing with the first and the last paragraph, and trying to get the gist of something, because I'm simply under time constraints that are, I think, self-evident as we have our conversation today. But in that regard, I'm certainly, in regard to what I read, not endangering anyone's physical health if I fail to read comprehensively all the research and the topics I tend to look for. But I can see when you look at this in terms of a model for medical doctors and journal research and pharmaceutical companies.
Would you enjoy a career where you pick your hours, work for who you want to, when you want to, as much as you want to? No one knows about this hidden career because there is no book, school, or teaching material available until now. Learn the trade of window painting. Window Genie is now offering a 3-day workshop on DVD that shows you how to reproduce art, text, and graphics professionally, even if you can't draw a stick man. Secrets, cheater techniques, shortcuts, tips, and tricks are all revealed. Recoup your investment in as little as one job and have a career for life. This training also gives you the skills to do regular sign work, indoor murals, and signage. Begin your new career today. Just call us at 780-457-7109 or visit us at windowgenie.com. Again, that's windowgenie, spelled J-E-A-N-N-I-E.com.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and, of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
For a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
We'll be right back. the recipe. This is a love attack.
We're back. This is Mark Danhaus, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've been joined in this last hour and have about 6 minutes to go with Dr. Sherry Tenpenny of Cleveland, Ohio, board-certified medical physician in regard to both emergency medicine and osteopathy. She has an education company, New Medical Awareness, LLC, has a book entitled Foul, Bird Flu, It's Not What You Think, also has a DVD, a three-hour vaccine DVD entitled Vaccines, The Risk, The Benefits, and The Choices. You can find her commentary at Elizabeth Wright's newswithviews.com and as well as at www.drtenpenny.com and www.birdfluhype.com. Dr. Tenpenny, in regard to, you have a clinic in Cleveland?
I do.
For people who might want a paid consultation with you, both either for themselves or for a loved one or a family member, a friend, how would they contact your clinic?
There's two websites. One is the drtenpenny.com, which will take you to the main website, which is nmaseminars.com, which most people can't remember. So we say it's doctor, it's doctor as in D-R, T like Tom, E, N like Nancy, P like Paul, E-N-N-Y, drtenpenny.com. And there's a form on there that you can fill out for a request for a consult. You can also order our products through there, our CDs, our DVDs, books, all different things that are available to educate you, to help you make a fully informed choice about vaccines. You'll notice, Mark, that I don't tell people not to vaccinate. I tell people to get informed about their vaccination decisions and come to the conclusion themselves. And if they go to drtenpenny.com, they can make a request for a vaccine consult, or they can call the vaccine number, which is 440-239-1878. It's 440-239-1878.
Yes, and what it sounds like you're telling us then, Doctor, is that a vaccination regimen or a specific vaccination might be contraindicated in one case and indicated in another. So this is where this business of discernment and evaluating situations case by case becomes so important.
It is. And, you know, one of the things of our one-size-fits-all vaccination policy does not take into account is the health of the child, the health of the parents. I mean, if the parents have asthma, allergies, eczema, autoimmune diseases, does that put your child at higher risk? And my personal and professional opinion is that it does. If you are really concerned that you feel that the risk of the infection is greater than the risk of the disease, then one of the things you can do is you can choose to vaccinate selectively and one at a time. And there's a lot of information on our website and in the materials that we have that can explain that. But in the state of Texas, know that you have a philosophical exemption for schools. That's very important for your listeners to know, is that you have the right to refuse to get into your public school systems if you do not want your children to have vaccines. And I strongly encourage everyone to go to prove.net and support Dawn Richardson.
Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, thank you so much. I'm going to be posting information on this interview, as well as all of Dr. Tenpenny's URLs and her articles and so forth, as I can find them online. At Breaking All the Rules News. This information will later be a part of the archived information pertaining to this show at the Republic Broadcasting Network's archives. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Back with more news summary and conversation.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me,